My name's Stephen Neal, pastor at Alden Bethel Church and blogger at Building Jerusalem.
And my name's Stephen Watkinson, church planter in Rochdale and blogger at Northern Souls.
So, Steve, there were some articles. There's been a bit of stuff around Christmas Day and Christmas Day services and whether you should have a Christmas Day service or not. Some of that seems to flow out of America in a slightly different culture. But you shared an article saying that you ought to be having your Christmas Day service. Just to explain, because one would expect Anglicans to be protective of their rituals on Christmas Day and so forth. Let me put it like that. But one might not expect you to be protective of your Christmas Day service. So why was it that you felt it was important?
So I'm not protective of Christmas Day services at all. I don't think Christmas Day services are in the Bible. I don't think Jesus demands them of us. I don't think we have to do them. And I know plenty of churches growing up who never had a Christmas Day service. All the churches I ever went to always did, but I know loads of churches that didn't, and I have absolutely no problem with that whatsoever in general terms.
So just to spell that out, it's a freedom kind of choice in general. Like, is it a useful thing to have a Christmas Day service?
Yeah, so I think if somebody wants to, let's say Christmas Day falls on a Wednesday, if someone wants to get together and worship God and enjoy the fact that Jesus came into the world and they want to meet together with brothers and sisters and sing some songs and read the Bible and do all of that, I don't have any problem with that. I just also don't think that's demanded of us in Scripture.
Yeah. So why this year then?
Yeah, basically this year it falls on a Sunday, and the article I shared made various arguments, but I think fundamentally its argument was it is Sunday before it's Christmas. So as much as I don't think we are commanded to do anything on Christmas Day, the only reason we have Christmas Day services in this country at all is because of the Church of England and the church calendar, of which I, as a nonconformist, pay minimal attention to and do not feel bound by it anyway. And in fact, there's a little element of me that
rebels against it at every opportunity,
actively likes to say I hate it and don't want anything to do with it. And so a little bit of me,
so
kind of,
you're not going to join me with Lent this year then?
That's Catholic, Stephen.
Well, given that I'm not going to be doing it, I don't know what I'm talking about.
I always knew Anglicans were basically Catholics. But no, I mean, so it's not, it's just, for me, Christmas is a cultural celebration. It's nothing to do with the Bible, really. It is a purely secular cultural phenomenon. The only reason it's been Christianized at all is because in our culture we have a established Church of England with its church calendar that has Christianized this cultural phenomenon. Now, such as people are happy to use that cultural phenomenon to think about Jesus and to meet together and read the Bible and all that, I'm totally fine with that. That is freedom, but it's not commanded in Scripture anywhere, and I don't think it's demanded of us, and I don't think anybody has to, and all of that. But we are commanded to meet together on a Sunday, and we are commanded to worship God in particular ways on a Sunday. And so the two things that annoy me beyond belief is that we would use Christmas, which is in my view a secular cultural phenomenon, as a reason not to meet together as God's people in a way that he commands in Scripture. That annoys me. The other thing that annoys me, to a lesser degree but nonetheless I find annoying, is that we would allow a secular cultural phenomenon to then say, and let's make our Sunday service shorter, let's remove some of the elements, because people have got families to see, let's go and, you know, let's not have as many, so let's not do all the things, let's not have communion, let's not do some of the things we think we should be doing on a Sunday because the culture has decided 500 years ago we're having a Christmas Day. That sort of thing really winds me up.
Yes, I can see that. I mean, I suppose there's a bunch of what tends to be the case is there's a bunch of pragmatic stuff going on, isn't there? And that can be. So one of the reasons, and I think we've talked about this before, but one of the reasons you might choose to have a Christmas Day service is because we do live in a culture where Christmas is rooted in the nativity story, and therefore people view it as, well, I mean, Christmas is rooted in the nativity story. So people, if you didn't do church, and I think you've said this, in your geographical context, surrounded by a large Muslim population, it would look at best odd to not be celebrating the birth of Jesus on the day that everyone knows that you celebrate the birth of Jesus.
That's right. So we do have a Christmas Day service where we are. And the reason for that is nothing to do with what's commanded in Scripture, nothing to do with the secular cultural phenomenon we've got, and everything to do with our context and an evangelistic opportunity that's there. Or rather, actually, let me rephrase that. Mm-hmm. There is no evangelistic opportunity there, really. We don't get people coming in for Christmas and for carol services, but...
By the fact that you are doing something and it says something.
It's to do with our witness, not to do with an evangelistic opportunity. And I've long been of the view, in our particular context, our neighbours will think it's weird and strange that they have a massive parade always in the middle of when my sermon starts, down our street for Muhammad's birthday, banging drums, blowing trumpets. It's always on a Sunday every time, which is interesting that Muhammad has the same day for his birthday every year. But there you go. Same time as well, as I say, right at the point that the sermon starts. But that's what they're doing. They're making a big noise and a big procession that they think Muhammad's birthday is important. Now, given that is what they're coming from culturally, it looks very odd to them that Jesus, who we say is our greatest prophet, the one who we worship, the one who we say is God, he came into the world to save us from our sin. He's the core of our gospel. And then if they see our doors shut and our lights off on Christmas Day, that does say something to them. And so for that reason alone, I think it's important for us to turn up and do something. But if I lived in a sleepy village or a town where people are all busy doing their own things on Christmas Day morning, no one would notice whether our church building was open or not. I think there is zero compulsion to turn up and do something.
I mean, it's funny, so I can probably see in most contexts that actually not doing something in a culture where it's one of the last vestiges of people's understanding of Christianity, I think it would. I mean, it's funny, it's a long time since I've been in, I've never been in the sort of culture you're talking about, but I can see loads of pragmatic reasons why you would go, we're going to meet, because it's good for the people, perhaps in the culture that they're in, and it is good, it is a good witness in the culture that we're in.
And I think it's fair to say, I broadly agree, but I would land very, very hard on, this is pragmatic. Yeah. This is...
We're doing it for good reasons.
This is contextual.
But I haven't found the verse in the Bible that says you need to have a service on December the 25th.
Well, and more than that, if lots and lots of people said, I don't want to come to that, I'm not interested in that, I don't want to do it, in no way would that lead to me being disappointed or upset or feeling like they're sort of letting the Lord down in some way. It's just not relevant to that. I mean, this isn't just me pushing back on Anglicans, to be fair. I mean, I get quite frustrated by the John Piper school of, unless you make Jesus the absolute heart of Christmas in totality, you're not really doing Christmas properly. And I want to say to him, really, no, that's not true.
How can one do Christmas properly?
Well, not only that, you know, the argument from Piper is Christmas is about Jesus. He's the reason we've got it. My argument is no, Christmas is about the Anglican Church deciding that we're going to do that. And
probably the Catholics before, but
well, yeah, actually, and in reality, very possibly because there are a bunch of pagans having a bit of a holiday as well, and we fancied one at the same time, and that's fine. I have no problem with doing a party at the same time as a bunch of people having a party, and I've got no problem with having a party, and I've got no problem with enjoying stuff. I really, really like Christmas. I really do. I really enjoy it, and our family love Christmas, but for me, we love it because it's Christmas and it's a cultural thing for us. It's not a church or a Christian thing for us. And so I want to push back a bit on people like John Piper, even, who are like, somehow you're letting the Lord down if Jesus isn't kind of the most important thing for you. I'm like, well, look, I honor Jesus in the whole of my life. My whole Christian life is centered on Christ. If we think about the incarnation at Christmas as well, and it's a nice opportunity to do that, more than happy to do that. I'm glad to do it. But the reality is, it's a cultural festival. America only does it because they've imported it from here.
I mean, it's interesting. I think I would say that I'm always a bit so-so about Christmas, but what I like about it is that it is part of something we can do as a church and as a family that does focuses on some particular, you know, I do like that. I do like the fact that we look together at the Christmas story, that we, you know, I enjoy that. I think it's a positive thing. And, you know, I think it's a good part of, you know, but in lots of ways, I'm talking about having grown up enjoying that aspect of Christmas. But you're right, I couldn't sort of say you must.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I don't dislike that element of Christmas. I'm more than happy thinking about the incarnation.
Yeah, yeah.
More than happy. But we do that all the time in church.
Well, it strikes me as one of that. I mean, it's one of those traditions that can be very useful, Christianly.
Yeah, agreed.
I can understand, therefore, people being really attached to it because it's an important aspect of how they've grown up in their faith and all those kind of things. And I think that's good and I think it's positive.
Really? You think Christmas is a major part of how people grow up in their faith?
Well, it's funny. I've
never heard anyone say that.
Really? I would say that about me in a way. So I think it helped me... it helped me understand lots about God and the gospel because of the way that I was taught during the period of Christmas and encouraged to think about it and that kind of thing. I don't mean it kind of...
Do you mean like the Chris Dingle?
No.
I don't even know what that is. That's just an orange, isn't it?
That taught me that people often set their hair on fire with candles. but always that, the smell of burning hair at Chris Dingle's. I didn't know, to be honest, Chris Dingle was not part of my upbringing.
No, I'd never done a Chris Dingle. My son came home from school once and went, we did a Chris Dingle. I was like, what's that? It's like, we shoved some candles in an orange. I was like, why?
So I still don't fully know the reason for all the bits, but it's light of the world and the blood is the ribbon round it of Christ.
I feel we're getting off point. It's not relevant.
But, yeah, so because I went to a very conservative evangelical church, I guess I find it quite moving, some of the stuff, you know, just sort of realizing what Christmas was about or what the nativity stories in the Bible are about. And so that was shaping. I don't mean that. And it was, I think it was helpful. It's a really interesting case study of culture and faith, isn't it? And I'm sure there was lots of stuff about how we need to reclaim Christmas for Christ and all that kind of thing. And in many ways, it was helpful. It was shaping in that sense. But yeah, no, I'm not saying it's the kind of, it's what made me a Christian or anything like that. But it is true. And I think possibly background, the rhythms of the church calendar, which often are a bit rubbish, but the value of getting you to think about incarnation, crucifixion, resurrection, that sort of stuff, regularly, that is shaping, even if you might kind of go off and that's done very badly.
But I would have thought if your church was meaningfully preaching through the Bible, you're going to be hitting on those things with some regularity anyway, right?
Well, I suppose, yeah, you should be. But actually, I reckon if... I reckon it's possible in evangelical churches to be so kind of stuck in the bit of the Bible that we're in that it's a long time before you pull out. I've noticed myself doing this. You realise you haven't talked about quite key theological things for a while. Now, look, there's loads of pros and cons to talk about there. But I suppose what I'm saying is, at pragmatic levels, I can see value to Christmas, loads of value. And I can see the other thing that people would probably always say is the evangelistic value. That's probably culture dependent.
Well, surely you and I have that same issue now, right? Where culturally, the Christmas period is not our fruitful time.
Well, so it's a really interesting one that as a vicar in the Church of England, even in a very Muslim context, got huge amounts of opportunities because of Christmas. So I went round schools doing all and had nurseries coming in and all sorts because presumably it's part of the kind of stuff they're supposed to teach.
Because culturally, when I used to teach RE, it was this. You were taught there are two views of Christianity, which is Anglican and Catholic. So once again, erasure of the nonconformists. But you...
Well, we've tried and tried and we can't get rid of you.
quite literally you have, yeah.
I know. I haven't. I'd just like to say.
Well, you've joined us now, haven't you? So
yeah.
But yes, you're now one of us.
You can't beat him. Anyway, yes.
But the point is, the RE curriculum demands that
sort of
you come
pushes
in
you
and,
into it.
Yeah, and you kind of go, what is Christmas? Why do we celebrate it? And to be fair, that's not unreasonable because
culturally significant.
Yeah, even from my cultural view, yeah, it's major.
So, you know, so yeah, and even when we've done, so I would say the evangelistic opportunity in our context, it's much less put on a lovely carols by candlelight and the whole community will come kind of thing, because that's not going to happen. But it's much more there are people who might take a chance to, you know, people that you know who, if you invite them over the couple of weeks around Christmas, they'll come, whereas if you invited them in February, they wouldn't. So take the opportunity.
Yeah, and I would tend to agree with
some
that.
Of that.
I view the stuff around Christmas similar to how I view our light party at Halloween.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? But nobody makes a big deal about Halloween and says you've got to make it really about Jesus, redeem it for Christ in a big way, you know. And
you don't know enough Anglicans.
Well,
so
no.
Some of them want to redeem All Hallows Eve and all that.
Yeah, no. I do know people who say these things, but I don't see that that's going to happen. But the point is, we have a light party and loads of Muslims don't celebrate Halloween.
But so they will.
And they'll come to our light party because it's not Halloween. And because of the links we've got in the community, it's a big thing. But nobody goes, that's a major plank of sort of Christian tradition and, you know, the Bible says everyone should do that and therefore go and do it. It's not. It's just an evangelistic opportunity.
And it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because I wonder with Halloween... might be going out on a bit of a limit. I wonder if that's going to become more of an opportunity. So I think Christmas has become less and less. I mean, there'll be people in different contexts who'll say this isn't true, but I wonder if Christmas is becoming less and less of an opportunity because I think it's... there are less people now who are bothered about that sort of traditional Christmas thing that involved listening to the carols from Kings or whatever, and there are people, but it's much less, I think.
Almost none of my mates when I was at school went to church on Christmas Day, went to carol service.
And that's the generation that are now parents, and so it's not part of their family
traditions. It hasn't been for over 30 years.
And so that's moved a big way. I reckon with the growth of... I mean, this is a bit off topic, but I think a lot more people are uncomfortable with Halloween now. Which is just interesting. So I know it's very cool and loads of people are just like have fun and do it and whatever. But there's, so the Muslims in particular would be obviously a case of that. But I think I know other people who are kind of looking at going, I'm not dead keen on my kids doing this. I was saying, down our road, there's someone who sets up like a graveyard every Halloween, sort of on the bit of grass over. And you kind of walk past it and I don't think it takes a genius to go, that is maybe not very nice.
But this is kind of how cultural blindness works, isn't it? And very often what happens is there's a thing that happens in the culture and it just happens because it's cultural. And every now and then people just look at it and go, what are we doing?
And I think people do that with their kids, don't they? Especially
absolutely.
With this sort of stuff. And I mean, it's a bit, occasionally you would get people in church on Christmas with their kids and you talk to them about it and it they come to the local Church of England or whatever it was. And part of it was them going, we kind of don't like how Christmas has gone. And we kind of want to root it in something better than that. And, you know, and part of you sort of goes, fair play. You sort of can sort of see that it's become a sort of bit tacky and a bit horribly commercial in some ways. And I guess that will you sort of see that happening with Halloween a bit, don't you? And yeah, I think there is some value in churches kind of going, yeah, we want to say something different. I suppose when I said Christmas was valuable to me, actually because the church was saying something different. I mean, remember, I grew up in the 80s and it was all kind of, you know, Thatcherism and money and commercialism and all that kind of thing. And it was really helpful to have someone go, that does not matter. That is not of eternal importance. Jesus is of eternal importance. And so maybe there are some good opportunities there. I think they're different. I do genuinely think so even in places where we got hundreds of people to carol services, I remember us noticing that we weren't really seeing any fruit from it. Now you can never quite tell, but I just wonder if the fruit now ought to be more individual, where people say, I talked to my mate and Christmas feels hollow to them for a load of reasons, and I want to invite them to church to find something that explains life in a way that...
Yeah, and I think that's right. I think our experience in this community is that Muslims don't come to church at Christmas.
No.
Because why would they?
Although we had some at kind of Christmas all age things, which was a weird one, but yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, you know, very, very occasionally you might just get a curious Muslim with whom you've got links going, I'll have a little look in and see what you're doing.
I think that was basically it.
We have had that, but it's very rare and not that usual, and you don't expect it. But what we have had, again, we don't get that many visitors at Christmas. So again, our light party, mm-hmm. we have over 60 people there, almost all of them outsiders. And then you get
out of interest, is that built over time? Is that like just you've got known for it or what?
No. So with that, it was about 4 or 5 years ago, we did one. So they've done light parties for years, but not nearly to that extent or that level, and certainly not reaching the local community so well. But basically we started it through the English classes and through the food distribution, through various links that we've built up. I mean, people were invited but didn't always come. But there was one year where we had more stuff going on, I think, was a start. So more links in the community, we built up better relationships and then invited people through those things, and then a lot of them came. Yeah. So that's why.
Okay.
And similarly with Christmas, I mean, we've had the occasional broadly intrigued Muslim who wonders, what do you actually do in here? Mm-hmm. Who might come in, but that's very rare. We don't even have that many white Brits because we're not in an area where they would come. But when we have had people, it's generally either been people we've invited through a thing where we've already got a link with them, or it's friends of friends and they're being invited down. And so I would still do those things. We're still going to have a carol service because you never know. And we still will meet on Christmas Day, not because anyone will come in, because they won't, but because of the witness issue. And then the rest of my Christmas Day, because it's Sunday this year, my Christmas is going to be slightly different and actually more meaningful because it's Sunday. Mm-hmm. But most of the time, my Christmas Day is, you know, I enjoy nice food. I enjoy being with family. I enjoy doing the things everyone else does. But I enjoy them not because, you know, there's something especially Christian about them, any more so than the rest of my life is, you know, obviously Christian all the time. But as far as I'm concerned, it's a cultural thing. Which I find interesting because a lot of Anglicans I meet would really react against that and say, no, you've got to have a Christmas Day service. That's really vital. I know a lot of nonconformists would say, you don't have to. I think this is mainly Americans, and therefore we're not going to bother. But then go as far as to say, and now it's Sunday, we won't bother then either. And I'm like, come on, that's in the Bible, lads.
That's an interesting one, isn't it? And it does speak to where we can go a little bit. So the reasoning that I've seen for some of that, I mean, it's fairly alien, I think, in the UK. I can't imagine there are many churches planning to cancel their Sunday Christmas Day service. Maybe there are.
Not in the UK, I don't think. It's very much an American thing. Basically, the only people who wouldn't have a Christmas Day service are the churches that ordinarily wouldn't have a Christmas Day service. And frankly, those sorts of churches, which tend to be strict Baptist type churches, wouldn't cancel on a Sunday, specifically because it's Sunday. Yeah. So they will have a service on the Sunday.
So, but it's an interesting one to hear, isn't it? Because you then sort of hear, well, what were a set of pragmatic justifications. So it's time for family, it's time for, you know, people will be travelling and, you know, they need to do X, Y, and Z. And all of it, I mean, lots of which are good things, you know, obviously. But just sort of, like you say, it's that point where, and I guess you can flip that the other way, where people drive their tradition to have X, Y, and Z for Christmas. And you can give a load of good reasons for doing it. However, it's not, you know, to undermine something that was mandated by doing that would be really problematic.
Yeah, so I think doing things for pragmatic reasons is fine if that's not the fundamental principle driving everything you're doing. So to take a really terrible example that I've used before, you can pragmatically go, I could fill my church doing all sorts of sinful things that I know people will come in for. Yeah. But ultimately, if I do that,
it's not
appropriate to do those things. And so, but there's nothing wrong with going, look, people are coming at Christmas. Can I do an evangelistic thing at Christmas? It's not in the Bible, but can I do that? Yeah, that's fine. That's a pragmatic approach to an overarching biblical principle to share the gospel. And therefore, I think that's fine. But if your pragmatism is then undermining what is mandated in Scripture, that is a problem.
I guess what it's interesting, we are going to read a book for Advent this year, which you probably don't approve of because we're doing Advent. But
I do disapprove. I think reading is bad.
Yeah, and worse, we're reading an Anglican. So
reading Jason an Anglican, Ryle. Which is practically Catholic.
But so
are you lighting a candle as well? That would make it proper high church as well, doing an Advent candle.
I would not dare light a candle in our building because the chances of us putting the whole thing up in smoke. We were talking about a carol service and someone said, oh, we could do it by candlelight. And everyone just went, no. So again, it's totally, actually I was thinking, it's a good little book of daily readings talking about a set of things that would be good to think about. And, you know, it'd be a nice little change for what we do in growth group and stuff like that. So I thought I could get them for a quid each from the FIC conference. So I just thought we'll do it. Not because, I mean, Advent's fine. It's what it is. It's like there's 4 weeks where you can go, all right, we're going to think about some stuff about Jesus first coming and Jesus second coming. Lovely, let's do that then. But it was very much like, I don't think we did anything for Advent particularly last year. We may or may not next year. But I just thought, actually, that'd be quite a nice thing. It would sort of work quite well with what we're doing this year, and that seemed like a good idea. I guess that's a pragmatic thing. I literally say to my congregation, I'm not very committed to the calendar, but why don't we use this opportunity? Because it might be a good thing to do.
Yeah, look, I mean, if the bottom line is, if people are thinking about Jesus because our culture says this is the time to think about Jesus,
then think good things.
Right, I think we are being obtuse, aren't we? If we're basically going, yeah,
you must not.
I refuse to allow you to do this.
We will not do the nativity story at all.
Yeah, I just think that's being foolish.
Contrary, I think, is the word, isn't
it? Yeah, and I understand that impulse.
Weird that. I can't.
I understand it, but I don't quite subscribe to it.
Even though you'd like to.
Well, pardon me, yeah. But at the same time, I don't like the other impulse, which is to kind of either make Christmas utterly vital, when it's not in scripture, or to insist, like in the John Piper way, of your Christian life and your how much you value Jesus is really centered on how big you make him in Christmas. I'm like, that's really not the case, is it, John? You know,
I suppose, I mean, there's something, isn't there? And I think it's right. See, we want to be wary about not being just miserable. And there are people who will be like miserable about it and like don't enjoy Christmas, in effect. They just don't enjoy it.
I'm always surprised a lot of people assume that's what I will be like. And I don't know why.
I do.
But I like Christmas.
Yes. I think... But it's funny, isn't it? I mean, I know from what you tell me, you come from contexts where there would be people who would be pretty miserable about Christmas. And that just seems unnecessary.
Yeah.
And miserable, in fact. And equally, there's...
The irony is they actually focused on the nativity story and looked at why Jesus came into the world. Misery's not listed.
Yeah. Joy to the world.
Yeah.
There's a weird thing that the John Piper one is one version of it. If that I try to think is this kind of and I get that this attempt it's an attempt to redeem culture that I suppose isn't it, and I get it so long, but in some ways it risks the similar thing that the more Anglican, if you like, the very traditional, this is how you have to do Christmas kind of thing. That you start going into legalism if you're not, and that sucks the joy out of it as well if you're not careful. I mean, I think I love singing carols. It's great to have a carol service. If it doesn't work, you know, when it didn't work out over COVID or whatever, or you know, whenever you could or couldn't do stuff, it's not the end of the world, is it? It's like, it's a good thing that you enjoy doing. Let's be joyful about being able to do it when we can do it. And you know, it's joy, you know, going through the nativity stories is a joy, you know, angels are full of praise and all that kind of thing. Let's be joyful about it, rather than in either direction, the kind of you must do this or you can't do it.
Yeah, and taking the evangelistic opportunities that are there, great.
Yeah,
if you've got them. If you don't, fine, you know, you share the gospel in other ways or whatever. But I just think it helps to remember, doesn't it, that Christmas isn't in the Bible. Christmas is not mandated in Scripture. Christmas Day services and evangelistic events around Christmas are not anything the Bible commands any believer anywhere that they must do. That's really a contextual, pragmatic decision.
What are your opportunities?
Yeah, as to whether you want to do that or not. But at the same time, it's perfectly fine to enjoy Christmas, right? We're not Gnostics who don't have fun or I think material things are a problem or only sort of spiritual things are good. I think my worry with the kind of let's redeem it approach is often it does end up being a bit Gnostic, where unless you make it very, very spiritual in some way, then actually you're not really being Christian about it.
If you can't make the Christmas pudding about Jesus, you can't enjoy the Christmas pudding.
Well, yeah, really. And I think...
Someone somewhere will have something that makes the Christmas pudding about Jesus.
Honestly, being Piper is not that far away from exactly that sort of thing. Every aspect of it has to be about Christ. And I think, look, I mean, that's great if you want to do that. And I don't want to knock him, and I appreciate what he's trying to do with it. But I just want to come back and say it's not in the Bible, and you can just enjoy Christmas because it's Christmas and Jesus is quite happy.